Welcome. I'm Nancy O'Keefe, Human Design Specialist and Intuitive Business Coach, and you're listening to Business Success with Human Design on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. We broadcast every Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. Listen online, on your mobile device, in your car, or ask Alexa to play Dream Vision 7 Radio. To learn more or for a full program schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Business Success with Human Design is proud to present our guest host, Mary Jo Rathgeb, who's going to look at keys to business resilience in changing times. Join us every third and fourth Thursday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. to talk about how business owners can incorporate the 9 keys to resilience in their lives and their businesses. Being a business owner isn't easy, but it can be a path to growth and empowerment, resulting in satisfaction and success. And Mary Jo is here to help you navigate the journey.
Welcome to another episode. Today, we are going to be exploring the topic of decisiveness and empowerment. And with me, I have Linnell Silverstein, a multi-certified mindset and business coach who founded Mind Equity International. It's a Dallas-based business consulting firm committed to helping entrepreneurs and C-level executives develop their leadership skills and tap into their team's potential in order to get to the next level of success and actually enjoy it. As an entrepreneur and former division manager of a national mortgage lending company, Linnell ran a billion-dollar P&L, and she understands business challenges leaders face in predictably unpredictable industries and how to overcome these challenges by combining her corporate expertise with principles of neuroscience and organizational psychology to aid her clients in creating strategic action plans that get them closer to their vision. So, Linnell, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me today. How are you?
I am great. And I am so excited to have you here, particularly because of your expertise in working with businesses and running your own division of a business with so much success, and even in times of uncertainty and where other industries in the same other businesses in the same industry were struggling. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that was part of why I wanted to have you on the show today, because it just feels so relevant to the times we're in. But before we dive into that, I just wanted to get a little bit more of a sense of your own history. Right now, you are a high performance business coach. And, you know, before that, obviously was in the mortgage industry. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about your journey.
Okay, well, things show up in life in ways that we don't imagine. They just show up. When we decide that we want something in life, then all of a sudden it's like the universe comes around and lines things up in a way that we wouldn't imagine. And for me, I'm going to say my journey actually started when I was 6 years old. I would sit after school. My mother worked until 5 o'clock. We got out of school at 3. So I would sit for those 2 hours waiting for my mother. But I would watch all of these families pick up their children. And I came from divorced parents at a very young age. And mm-hmm. I would imagine that when I grew up, I was going to be like these families. I was going to have a family. I was going to create the things that I didn't have. And so I remember having those thoughts as I would sit there for those 2 hours waiting for my mother. And I also observed that my mother would go to work, and then she would come home, but she was a very good provider for us. And so I realized then that I was going to create some type of career for myself. Then fast forward many years, I met my husband. My current husband, we've been married 45 years now, or going on 45 years in a few months. And his whole family was in real estate and mortgage and building in one way or another. And so he suggested that I go get a real estate license. So before, where I thought I wanted to be a psychologist, I went, okay. And I went and I got my real estate license. And then I started working for a title company. And it just continued that I kept doing different things in the industry, different parts of it, from the real estate license to working in title and escrow and real estate appraising, loan officer, account executive, I just insurance. I just moved through all of the areas. And as I did, one financially, that kept growing for me. I created that family with my husband and just continued to observe people and to learn. And eventually, I got to a point where I was running the center, and all of the things that I had learned in my journey, even being as that 6-year-old little girl that set a goal, all of that came into play. And so that's where I would start to meet with team members and ask them, what's your goal? What's your goal in life? Like, not what the company says you need to do in order to keep your job, but what's your company goal? And then what are your personal goals? And then we would work at creating plans for them to be able to achieve their ultimate goals. So, yeah.
So if I am hearing you correctly, it sounds like having goals, personal goals, professional goals, business goals,
Yes.
all contribute to resiliency.
They do. They do. If you are have decided that this is what I truly want, and then you start to work at creating a plan of what does that look like? Who do I have to be as a person? How do I have to show up? What do I have to think? Then, like you said, that there were companies that were struggling. Well, we were facing struggles too. We just dealt with it differently because we knew what we wanted our outcome to be, and we created a plan working towards that outcome.
So you're starting to see it a little bit about the main conversation that I want to go into. And just before we do, tell me a little bit more about this vision or outcome-based goal. That the idea of that and a little bit more about how that works as far as empowering team members or business owners or and
If
how
you
that plays
have,
into decisiveness.
okay, if you have a vision of this is where I want to be, then you start to create a plan of what that looks like. And you can kind of work from the end backwards. So here's where I want to be. Okay, what are all the things that would have to happen? And then you get it down to the very beginning step of what's my current step and then what's my next step. If you have a vision of where you want to end up, you're more likely to get there because you're creating a process. And the process may have twists and turns in it. But you're asking yourself each day, at least for me, it was, what do I need to do today in order to basically get to where I want to be? But it was always, what do I need to do today? And at night, I would look at everything that I had done throughout my day. And was there anything that I didn't complete that I needed to complete the next day? That would be my first order of business. I would also acknowledge the success that I had because we can have a running what we call to-do list and not get it all done, but we need to celebrate the things that we did get done. We can evaluate what's most important. And one of the things I do with my clients is I have the sheet where they sit in the center, like we've already defined what it is that they want. And then they're sitting in the center. And there are all these, we'll call them spokes that come out. And they write down everything that they are currently doing. And then they take a step back and they evaluate it and say, one, is this something that that is going to move me closer to where I want to be? Is it getting me closer to that goal, to that vision? And if the answer is yes, then the second question is this something that I should be doing, or should it be somebody else on the team? And then you can make a decision. But each thing that you look at, if it isn't moving you closer to, then it shouldn't even be on your list of what I'm going to do today. Because we tend to waste way too much time focused on all of these things that aren't going to get us closer to where we want to be. So if we figured out what those things are that will move us closer, and then just did more of that, we will end up achieving what it is that we want to achieve. We might get there differently, you know, but we will get there.
Right. So
the part about the resilience is for us, you know, things would come up, you know, in mortgage, interest rates do, you know, they go up and all of a sudden business stops. Then they drop and all of a sudden you're behind. You know, where one day you're hoping to have business, the next day, all of a sudden you're behind. So you have to be planning always. But there's resilience in there where you come up against something and instead of just freezing, you move over and remind yourself that you have these goals. And it's like, okay, you know, this has come up. What's the solution? Start becoming solution based. And that really builds up your resilience because now you're focused on how you're going to move forward versus just being stuck and saying, oh, life is happening to me and I'm a victim of my circumstances versus taking control.
Right. And so that's where the whole idea of empowerment comes in as well. So instead of
right.
being a victim at the circumstances of the interest rates, you are prepared and using that decisiveness, it sounds like, also in everyday moment-to-moment decision-making and solution-creating.
Correct. Correct. You are definitely looking, you're living for and looking for solutions to things. And each time we go through something, if we can think of it as if we're in school, excuse me, and we're learning, because each thing that shows up is an opportunity to learn and to deepen a skill set that we have in being able to move forward. And it doesn't mean that we have to do it by ourselves either. You know, we can add a solution could be, who do I know who has already gone through something similar that I can go to get advice from. And we don't want to get advice from people who are woe is me. We want to get advice from the people who are continuing to push through and growing into that person that has what the vision that they want to have.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, that's awesome. Okay. So we have less than a minute before we're going to go to our first break. And after the break, what I would love to do is to dive more into your story about how you managed your team in 2008 during that real estate crisis to grow and thrive in the midst of what would, how would you word it, in the midst of
turbulence.
Turbulence.
The turbulence.
Okay.
Yeah, that was happening. Yes. Okay.
Okay. So we will pick that up when we come back in just a moment.
Are you curious about your human design? Your chart holds sacred information that can help you get clarity around your life purpose, uncover your natural skills and talents, reveal your business genius and how you're wired to serve in the world, and help you be authentic by shedding all of the things you've been told you have to do and be so you can follow your true life path. This is the best way to find ease and flow, peace, and an abundant life and business. If you're ready to dive deep into your human design and see what it holds for you, take a look at my new course, Human Design 101. It's a self-paced course with optional, live, supportive Q&A calls, and this is your chance to live your life how it was designed to be lived. You can learn more at nancyokeefcoaching.com. Check it out.
Calling all authors. Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of DreamVision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome back. We are here with Lynell Silverstein, and we are going to talk about how she led her team through the turbulent real estate market in 2008. And so, Lynell, I would love to hear, you know, this case study, if you will, on business resilience and managerial brilliance.
Okay. Well, first, when you use the term managed team, and I, if somebody was to come to me and to ask me how I would like to be managed, and this could be just my behavioral style and personality, but if someone said, how would you like to be managed? My response would be, don't. And the reason is, I truly don't think that people like to be managed. We manage processes, we manage systems, but people like to be led. And they like to be supported, and they like to be acknowledged. And those are things that in business, we tend to not do so good at, you know, especially when we're under stress, we tend not to do a good job of that. And so we'll even carry the burden. We do the carrot, we hit people over the head, and it might work for a short period of time, but it doesn't work to create longevity and a company that truly thrives, has a team that's thriving. So in 2008, what happened was I had just gone out in the field with one of my account executives, and we pulled up to an office, and I got a phone call from the executive vice president of the company that said, I need you to get back to the office. And I need you and your operations manager to get on a call. We're having a corporate call. The market's deteriorating. And in the past, whenever you would hear something about the market deteriorating, that generally meant that the interest rates were going up. So I didn't think a whole lot of it. I just said, okay, we have to end our day and I need to get back to the office. I went back to the office, and then I had a little better understanding that this wasn't the interest rates going up. This was, we were having a true crash of, there were certain loans that had been sold out there to people that they should never have been in. There were pools of loans that were supposed to be A paper loans, and they really weren't. They were, you know, subprime loans. And all of a sudden those pools got so big with the subprime loans, and things just were falling apart. People weren't able to afford their homes. They overbought. And this was really something big. It was something I had never seen before. And so I went into my office and I sat there and said, okay, I need to tell everyone that we just lost these programs. We eliminated our seconds, and we also eliminated our alt, what was called Alt A. And within that, Alt A was an option arm product, which was not a good product for most people. It was given to everyone instead of the person that it was truly meant to be. And so I thought, what am I going to do? And so I actually turned on, I like Motown music. So I actually turned on music to give me energy because I knew I needed to bring energy into that meeting. And we called everyone into the conference room. And I explained to them exactly what corporate had shared after I got off my call with corporate, everything that corporate had shared and what was happening. And then I made a comment. I said, we have a choice. And I pointed to the right-hand corner and said, we can curl up in that, we can curl up in a fetal position in that corner and cry like a baby, or we can stand up and say, what do I need to do? And that was it. I didn't say another word. And you have to get comfortable with silence, which is something that most of us are not comfortable with. But I knew that I couldn't be the first one to speak. And I remember her name was Mandy, and she was a funder. And she stepped up first and said, what do we need to do? And then another person stepped up, and another person stepped up, and they all finally stepped up. And in that moment, they accepted responsibility. They weren't going to be in the corner crying like a baby. They were going to, stand up and do whatever it is that they would need to do to continue moving forward. And we had great leadership in our company. The president and the executive vice president were great leaders, and they continued to have meetings with us, letting us know what was happening. And then my operations manager and myself would have a meeting and share it with the team and keep everyone informed. Here's where we're at now. Here's where we're at now. And we kept shifting just a little bit, shifting. And what was interesting is it was a challenge. Everyone had to really learn to work together as a true team and to support each other. And the account executives had to be able to go out and tell their clients, we can't fund this loan. We had stacks of loans that when it first hit, we were ready to hit the button to send out the wire, and we couldn't do it. There were people who thought they were refinancing. There were people who thought they were buying new homes. And the answer was no. The market shifted. We didn't have control over it. We just weren't allowed to hit that button because there was no place to sell it.
And
And
this was like overnight. This was just like
overnight, life was good, and then boom, overnight.
wow.
And the team really stepped up to the plate, and they took a lot of heat because loan officers were screaming at the team, going, what do you mean? And then realtors were screaming at the loan officers. It wasn't pretty. But then all of a sudden they realized that it was huge, that it wasn't us. We were in front of it before a lot of other lenders were, but all of a sudden they also stopped all of those products. And it became real clear that there was this major event that was going on. And we made it through. And it was through communication, and it was communicating the scary stuff and saying, yet we have control over what we are doing each day. And we went to where before we all had a little different products and how we underwrote them, but all of a sudden we went to full doc loans only. That was the only thing. We didn't have seconds. There were no lines of credit. All of that went away just in an instant. And because of our previous, where we would have meetings and say things like, we have a choice in keeping ourselves employed. And the way we do that is how we show up today. When life is good, how do we show up today? And understanding the team understand or understood that operations and sales are a whole team. And that operations, even though they didn't formally sign up for sales, they were technically part of the sales team because they communicated with our clients, either through an email or a phone call. Once in a while, somebody would come in and they would meet in person. But how they did their job, how they got their documents done, how they communicated on a daily basis and doing a really good job at it is what would keep them employed when the market shifted. And as I said, they understood that's part of sales too. And then the sales team understood that they were actually part of the operations team because they were the ones that would communicate with the end user, our clients, customers, of here are the processes, here are the systems that we have in place, here's the technology that we have for you. Those technically are operational things. So we took down that wall of separation early on so that they were a team and supported each other. And that prepared us for when the market shifted and it hit really hard and like you said, overnight, that those systems, those processes, the way they communicated, they were already there and we were able to push through. And many, many companies don't exist anymore that existed back then. They had something that was called the implode-o-meter, and all of these companies went under. And I think we actually hit the implode-o-meter by for like 5 minutes, and then we were off because where other companies were hiding from their investors, we were calling them. Our team at corporate was calling them and saying, "Here's what we put in place. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing." And because that communication, the line of communication was open, they didn't call our lines due. They worked with us. And it took a while, but we got through all of the loans that were kicked back. We, you know, were able to redo them as full doc loans and take care of it. And in turn, we ended up being really busy. And so in 2009, that's when we actually did $1 billion in business. And it was in the middle of that crash where foreclosures were up, all of that was going on. But yet we were doing really good loans. We were still as efficient as possible. And our clients wanted to work with us because they knew that we would tell them the truth and they knew that we would take care of them and communicate with them. And the, you know, throughout that whole thing, people just grew.
Wow, that's quite a story.
Yeah, it was interesting, but again, it was a really good company that and they're still here. I mean, they're still around today. They do really good business. They are very well respected in the industry, and it was a pleasure working, you know, for that company. I was with them for 16 years, and they were just a really great company, and they still are.
And so the time period that you're talking about lasted at least a year. How long did it actually go on
Oh,
for?
it lasted several years. I mean, there was recovery that was happening, but it lasted several years. And what was interesting too is we used to refer to our full doc loans as the 39 cent taco. And what that meant was there was no profit in there. There was no profit. It was like a loss leader that we knew we needed to offer that program, but there were so many other programs that would be available to our clients too, and so they would have a choice. And the joke was, well, that's a 39 cent taco. We would never be able to survive on that. You know, it's all these other programs. And yet the market shifted, and because of the company being so well run, that was exactly what we survived on. And not only was our center in the $1 billion club, we also were the top in profit by using just that full doc program. So, you know, again, shifts and turns, but it lasted for years, and we came out of it. And I'm not going to say unscathed because there are things that happen, and you didn't. It was no fun, but we came out stronger. And we've gone through so many things. 2020, I wasn't with the company anymore in 2020 because I'd already shifted into a new business. But 2020, the interest rates dropped so low that the demand was hard for them to keep up with. And also, you weren't going into the office anymore. You were now having to figure out how to do it from home. And basically, that was an overnight thing, too. Originally, when they announced COVID, they said, we're shutting down for 2 weeks. And it wasn't 2 weeks. We were basically in and out of it for a good year and a half, maybe 2 years, when it's all said and done. I think we're still coming out of it a little bit because that created a lot of trauma for people. Mental trauma, not being able to be around other people, to be secluded, to have so much fear. And that's the thing too, back in 2008, there was fear. There was a lot of fear. And we get stronger each time we go through something because we'll even people who may go into a fetal position, many of them at some point go, wait, enough's enough. I've been in that corner too long. I'm getting up and doing something different because I can't take this anymore. This is not a way to live.
Well, I mean, it sounds like there was a lot of honesty with a
Yes,
dose of
absolutely.
humor
Yes.
and also staying as much in the present as possible.
Correct. Correct. We create our future by what we are doing right now in this moment. We do. The past is behind us and we can learn from the past, but we don't want to hang out there. And because that's, as people say, that's like driving a car looking in the rearview mirror. And whatever you focus on, you're going to keep creating over and over again. So if you're focused on the past, you're not creating, you're not one living in the right now and experiencing right now. And you're not creating a future that's going to be any different if you're focused on the past. So when you determine what it is that you want for your future, and then you bring it back to right now, today, and say, what's my next step? What do I need to do? How do I need to think? How do I need to speak? Who, what's my environment? Who do I need to be around? And when we start asking all those questions and looking at it and then just taking small steps, when we keep taking those small steps, we eventually get to where we want to be.
I love that. And so with that experience and all the experiences from everything that you've undergone, how does that inform how you're working currently with your clients now?
Well, when I very first started, I was working with executives and in corporations. And for them, that communication and the leadership would seem to be the thing that would come up all the time, is how they were going to communicate with their teams, how they were going to acknowledge them for something that they've done that's great. And we all communicate differently. And there was a book that was written many years ago called The Five Languages of Love. And there's another book that was written not by the same authors, but it's called The Five Languages of Appreciation. And not everyone has the same language of appreciation. Someone, appreciation to them would be a bonus check. And they would feel like they were validated. Somebody else who doesn't have that same language of appreciation could actually be offended. They could be thinking, oh, that's what they do for anybody or everybody. It's not anything that's special to me. But for them, it might be that their leader would come in and sit down and say, you know what? I just really want to thank you for what you did on XYZ, account. A specific thing, then that would mean a whole lot to them. That's their language of appreciation because that person took time out of their day to come in and be very specific. And so working with executives was more about the communication with their teams, specifically. And then when I moved to Texas, because I didn't know anyone here, I was invited to a network group. And my thought was, well, I don't know anyone here, so at the very least, I'll meet some people. And when I went in there, all of a sudden I started working with entrepreneurs, small businesses. And one of the things that I saw is that they would think that corporations were bad. And it's like, no. Entrepreneurs and corporations, one, every corporation started as an entrepreneur at some point. And number two, all it is processes, systems, and leadership. So you can look at a corporation and one is just doing wonderful things because they're great leaders. And then you can look at an entrepreneur who is a great leader and vice versa. Each one of them can not be good leaders at all. They just need some training. So the other thing that I noticed with entrepreneurs is that there was a skill that they had and they started a business with that skill. They actually created a job for themselves originally. And without growth and understanding that they needed processes, systems that were consistent, and developing a team so that now they step out of the doing themselves and are actually leading that team, they weren't going to be able to grow. They were going to be stressed. They were going to have a revolving door of employees because they didn't do the basics right. In other words, having a true system of where you get your employee, where you're going to get your employees from, how you're going to interview, that interview process, and then once you do an offer letter, what's the onboarding like? What's the training like? Because that piece or those pieces are huge. It sets the tone for everything else. And what I see is that they hire in desperation. They hire quickly and then they go, huh, I have someone. And then 2 months down the road, that person leaves because it wasn't the right fit. So it boils down to communication or, that clarity, your values, keeping them in front of you, laying out systems and processes and communication. Those are huge. And it's on both sides. They're just a little bit different on what they're focusing on, especially at the beginning.
On both sides, meaning entrepreneurs
Meaning
and
corporate and
corporations.
entrepreneur, yeah, and entrepreneurship. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So we have about a minute before we go to our next break.
Okay.
And so what I would love to do is when we come back is hear a little bit more about how the process is slightly different for entrepreneurs. We got a great example of a major corporation. And so I would love to drill down and talk about it for entrepreneurs. And the other thing that I just want to note from a human design perspective is
Yes.
that Linnell is a 4-6 sacral generator. And so decisiveness when she's tuned in is definitely there for her. And the ability to network and role model as a leader is totally there as well. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Are you happy at work or see it as a daily slog? Do you feel capable of meeting daily challenges and being energized by them? Or do you feel burnt out and chronically stressed? Owning and running a business can be hard, but it doesn't have to deplete you. Resilience is the ability to bounce back, to learn and grow from experiences. This quality is necessary during these changing times. Mary Jo Rathgeb, professional certified coach, RIM facilitator, and human design consultant, helps business owners build resilience while navigating big changes. By building emotional intelligence, managing mindset, and changing unproductive behaviors, business owners who work with Mary Jo create greater success by developing their capacity for resilience. To learn more, go to maryjorathgeb.com.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Are you curious about your human design? Your chart holds sacred information that can help you get clarity around your life purpose, uncover your natural skills and talents, reveal your business genius and how you're wired to serve in the world, and help you be authentic by shedding all of the things you've been told you have to do and be so you can follow your true life path. This is the best way to find ease and flow, peace, and an abundant life and business. If you're ready to dive deep into your human design and see what it holds for you, take a look at my new course, Human Design 101. It's a self-paced course with optional, live, supportive Q&A calls, and this is your chance to live your life how it was designed to be lived. You can learn more at nancyokeefcoaching.com. Check it out.
Welcome back, as we are here with Lynell Silverstein, and we are going to talk about entrepreneurship now versus the corporation example that we were given as far as leadership, empowerment, decisiveness, and resilience.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to use a client, and all of my clients are confidential, so I can't actually say their name or anything. But I have a client who runs a plumbing company, and he was in the network group, and we would, you know, talk about different topics in the network group, and he would always be in my little group. He would come and be in my little group when we would break out. And he and I had some wonderful conversations, and he ended up hiring me. And he's a young man who is really about growth, and he cares about other people. And so he wants the plumbing industry to be looked at differently than it currently has been. He wants to change it. He wants to create a place that is safe for his team, and that his team can grow, and that they can take care of their families and plan for their futures. And so he originally had read a book called E-Myth, and it has basic business principles in there. And so he had been following them, and he had started a manual, which were all of the processes of plumbing, the details of plumbing. And he, you know, was constantly editing it and making it better. And so in working together, we went through the process that I use in my coaching and created additional systems and processes that were business systems and processes, not necessarily plumbing, because personally, I don't know very much about plumbing, but I do understand business. So we were putting the business side together. And I, you know, have worked with him directly, and his CFO also, and also the operations manager, his manager that runs the internal workings of the business. And by all of us working together, the systems and processes are now in place. And now it's just about some fine tuning. And he's in a position to grow his business, and he is growing. And there's a good chance he has this out there. It's not the current goal that we're working on, but everything that we're doing now could or is something that would support this other goal that he's contemplating. Not 100% decided on it yet, but contemplating, and that is being able to franchise. But in order to do that, if you think of any company, like McDonald's was one of the first ones, and then you have Chick-fil-A and stuff, it's very consistent. Wherever you go, it's very consistent. If somebody is buying into the business, then they're able to take all of those processes and systems that they know work and duplicate them. Mm-hmm. And with this particular client, it's always about fine-tuning, you know, fine-tuning and growing. And I can see, even in, because we're still in some network groups together, and I can see that other people see that he does business differently and that they look to him as a leader. And what's happening in his business now is he has his leadership team. Anyone that is in a formal leadership role, he is specifically working on helping to develop their leadership. Another book, The Seven, what's it called? Habits, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And then there was The Eighth Habit. There was a book called The Eighth Habit. And The Eighth Habit is all about developing leaders, where his company, and I share this with one, I used it with my team. We had all eight habits up on the wall, and we would have meetings and say, which habit are we, you know, talking about right now? And so my clients read those books also, and they operate utilizing those eight habits too. And you don't have to have a formal title to be a leader, because everyone is a leader. The difference is, what direction are they leading? You know, they could be leading downhill or they can be leading uphill, but everyone's a leader. And but in this case, he has people that he has put in formal leadership positions and is continuing to invest in them. So in turn, they invest in their teams that and help to bring out leaders in those teams. Like, for instance, right now, he doesn't get involved in the hiring process. They've got such a tight process now. And, you know, the background checks get run, everything gets done, and it gets done between his operations manager, the HR department, and his truck manager. And they do use the term manager, but I use the term leader. And and they come from a place of leadership, but every now and then, you know, like the title truck manager, and that has a very specific definition to it. But they are the ones who are now responsible for bringing, you know, on new team members. And he has managed to step away and understands what his role is in the company, that he's not someone who's just working as a plumber, but he is definitely leading and growing the people in there, and can take a step back and also be very proud of the team that he has created. So they are, they're really well known, and they are growing.
That's great.
And he actually started that business in the middle of 2020, in the middle of the
pandemic.
Of COVID.
Yeah. Wow.
The pandemic. Yeah. So it can be done. It can always be done. When major things happen, that's where small businesses really, you know, start to grow. Like, you'll have massive layoffs, and those people will take a step back and go, wait a minute, you know, what am I really good at? What do I know? What do I want to create? Mm-hmm. And then they move forward and they create wonderful businesses. You know, look at, and I'm not saying this was due to layoff, but look at Apple. Mm-hmm. Apple started in a garage,
right?
You know,
yes.
You know, all of these different companies that are just huge now, and they created a life of their own. They may not have thought they were going to be that big originally, but you know, there's all kinds of potential, and we have a choice every day, every moment. What do we choose? You know, to move forward or to be stuck.
What is one tip that you'd like to give people who, let's say they're in a small business or maybe a solopreneur, they are entrepreneurs and may or may not see themselves as leaders? What would be a tip that you would have for that?
A tip for someone who doesn't see themselves as a leader would be, go get some books on leadership. I mean, truly go get some books on leadership. Maxwell Maltz, or let's see, Maxwell Maltz, no, what's his name? John Maxwell, that's who it is. John Maxwell wrote a book, and it's The 5 Levels of Leadership. And I would start with that. And he's written a lot of books, and he's really good. Mm-hmm. And is a great leader himself. I would suggest that people start reading what leadership truly is, and then get really clear. Everything starts with clarity. Get really clear of what it is that they would like to create, what it is, like even to the point of how much money do they want to make? You know, how many, they could just start creating a plan. What's the lifestyle that they want? How much time do they want to spend with their family and also their business? And they're going to spend time getting that business up and running. But if they're doing it right over time, they are creating time for themselves to have the lifestyle that they want. And I'm not necessarily talking about lifestyles of the rich and famous. I'm talking about the lifestyle that each individual truly wants for themselves. But that's being clear on what they want, not what society says you're supposed to do, want, or to do, or to have. But it's like, what do you really want? What brings you joy? What brings you peace? What brings you, just a sense of fulfillment? Because I think that's what we're all after, is that sense of fulfillment. And using our talents and sharing them with the world. And the world could be just our immediate family, our immediate sphere of influence. That's our world.
Right. But however big that world is. And certainly exactly. Spoken like a true generator, looking for that sense of fulfillment is yes. Your signature. So that makes perfect sense that yes. Would be what you are, hoping for. And just to tie this all together with some human design, I mean, I know that you have a lot of really great certifications and assessments that you are certified in, including clinical hypnotherapy, a strengths coach, self-talk trainer, even a faculty member of the Self-Talk University, a DISC practitioner, Energy Leadership Index Master Practitioner. When you had a human design reading, what stood out for you as the most important thing that has helped you in your business and also in your interactions with other people?
Well, there were a few things, because I had so much openness that mm-hmm. meant that I could take on the other person's energy. Mm-hmm. And so I knew, I had a sense that that was happening. I mean, I could say when I'm with certain people, I would walk away being really energized. And then with other people, I would feel really drained. And with my, and a lot of people would say, oh yeah, but that's with anyone. But with my human design, it's a whole lot there. So it's being very aware of it and protecting myself, and making sure that it's my energy, my thought, not just picking up on other people's energy. So mm-hmm. being very conscious of that. The other, what had to do with timing on things. And it's like just being quiet and really getting a sense of timing, because mm-hmm. the timing, meaning that if it was time for me to teach, time for me to speak, then that right time meant that it was going to be beneficial for everyone, including myself, versus right. trying to force something. So right. I think that's something that when we want to control everything, and I would typically be described as a type A, wanting to control and do, it's that slowing down and stopping and just waiting for the right moment, not getting stuck in waiting, but just observing, checking out what's going on internally, and then deciding, oh, this is the right moment. I'm right. being asked for this now. What I have to share is going to make a difference.
That's great. I love it. Yeah. So as we are coming to the end of our time together, I just want to, if someone believes that now is the right time to potentially work with you, how would they be able to find you?
Well, there are two ways. One, they can go to my website, which is Mind, MIND, Equity, EQUITY, International, INTERNATIONAL.com. And that's my website. And I have 23 interviews that I did actually in 2020. And they were with, CEOs, vice presidents, a professional speaker who trains for speaking, and also a professional trainer. All of those interviews are there, and they can sign up for that. At the end, they can reach out to me there. Another way, and I'm going to put this out there, is my email is Lanell, LANELL, at mindequityinternational.com. And I'd love to be able to set up a conversation and see what it is that someone is looking for, and if we would be a fit, if I'm able to help them.
Awesome. Thank
Okay.
you, Linnell.
Alrighty.
Thank you for
Thank
coming today. It was a wonderful
well,
conversation.
yes. Well, thank you, Mary Jo, for inviting me. It was a pleasure, and I really hope that it makes a difference for someone out there.
Thank you for joining Business Success with Human Design, and a special thank you to my guest host, Mary Jo Rathgeb. Join us next time to discover how you can get in the ease and flow of life and out of business overwhelm with human design. Business owners spend a lot of energy conforming to the rules of business, but we'll show you how you can pursue your business based on who you were born to be and how you were born to serve for the ultimate success. Connect with us at nancyokeefcoaching.com or maryjorathgip.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.